Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
At the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, Baylor will honor former running back, great NFL, also a high school star in the city of Waco, Alfred Anderson. The former running back will be honored in the Lunch with a Legend series. Doug Furch told me, in fact, if you are still interested, want to go, it's tomorrow late morning at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. Tickets are, at least a few are still available. Alfred joins Craig Smoke, Paul Catalina, David Smoke. What does it mean to you, Alfred? I know you've been honored before, but to be a part of this event when they reached out to you.
Hey, this is very special, David. I went last year when Mike Singletary did it, and I remember talking to Doug. Doug said, we need to get you. And I said, yeah, Doug, I've been wanting to do this, so just let me know. And so about 2 weeks ago, I get a call from John Morris. And so John asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, definitely. It's a great honor. It's a great honor to be a Baylor legend and to be able to share my story that people really don't know how I got to Baylor. And so it should be a fun event tomorrow.
Alfred, you grew up here in Waco. So, I mean, that was the first, you know, that was the closest school to you. How close did you come to going maybe somewhere else and not Baylor?
I was 100% going to U of H.
Ooh.
That's where I was going. You know, I was Coach Joelman that came out and watched me play. I remember one Friday night he came to John Tyler when we played John Tyler, and they were ranked like number three in the state of Texas. And I look up in the stands, and there were Coach Joelman and one of his assistant coach watching the game. And they were really heavy recruiting me to go to U of H. And plus, I can't recall the quarterback name at the time. He was a senior. And so they were looking for a quarterback to come in and take over. So that's where I was going, buddy.
I'm going to guess the name, and this is from being able to remember that time period. Was it Danny Davis?
Danny Davis.
Terry Elston and Audrey McMillan, who's an East Texas boy from Carthage.
Okay, yeah, not playing with Audrey. Elston was there. And then there was another one that played after Davis.
Brent Chen was on that roster. I'm going to have to look up another year. But they ran the Veer, Alfred. I can't imagine with what you were and how versatile you were, that you running something like that would have been just, like, glorious.
Because that's what we were running in high school my senior year when Coach Tom Flood made me the starting quarterback. And so that's why Coach Yeoman wanted me so bad, because I ran that the same type of offense that U of H ran.
Lionel Wilson?
He
had most of Elston. The McMillan was still Elston. There, but Lionel Wilson was also one of the quarterbacks that got a lot of snaps in 1981.
What about Elston?
Yeah,
Elston there?
Yeah, Elston would have been there the year that you would have in 1980. Yes, yes,
yes, yes.
And he was fantastic. He ran that offense incredibly well. And Bill Yeoman and company, they were rolling and had just had a great run early on in the Southwest Conference. So that's where you were locked in. What changed?
That's where I was locked in. What locked in was, and like I tell people and kids today, that sometimes you have to make important choices in your life. And that was one of the times I had to make a choice in my life. And what happened was, I went on a visit, and I remember two guys came to pick me up from the hotel, and they were ready to take me to Coach Yeoman. And when I got into the car, these guys were smoking marijuana and drinking early in the morning. And right then and there, I said, I can't come here. And that's the reason why I didn't go to U of H, because I didn't want to be a part of that in that atmosphere, that social life. So that's what changed my life, to not go to U of H. And I know all the years, Coach Yeoman always wanted to know why or what changed my mind to not go to U of H. And I remember we was at a banquet, one of the Baylor Hall of Fame banquets, and we were sitting at the same table. And I was telling myself, you know what, I'm going to tell Coach Yeoman the reason why I didn't go to U of H. And so he had got up. I thought he was getting up to go to the restroom and coming back. But when he got up, he and his wife was leaving. And so, man, I said to myself, I missed the opportunity to let him know the main reason why I decided not to go to U of H. Mm. But that was the reason why I didn't go to U of H, because of what I experienced that Saturday morning before I got ready to meet with him.
So did you call Grant Taft? Did you call, who was it? And what was that conversation like?
No. What happened was, Coach Taft knew that I was 100% going to Houston. And so after my visit, Coach Staff came over to Richfield that Monday afternoon. And we talked, and he asked me about my visit to Houston. I said, well, Coach, you know what? I don't think I'm going to Houston. I said, I'm thinking about going to Baylor. And then next thing you know, Coach get on the phone. Hey, Dave, Alfred. And so next thing you know, I'm talking to Dave Campbell. And I'm telling, you know, Mr. Campbell, like, hey, I'm thinking about going to Baylor. I didn't say I was going. I said, I'm thinking about it. And before we get out the meeting, it was all over the wire. Alfred committed to Baylor.
Yeah, Dave Campbell's power, and the power of him writing anything at the time, was probably at that time more than anyone else in the state of Texas when it comes to that. I'm not so sure that wasn't a plan. Hey, Dave, write about Alfred Anderson, and now he can't back out of us.
That's what happened. And so when I heard that, I said, well, I guess I'm going to Baylor.
You know, I think a lot of people sometimes, it's not that they forget about you. That's why you're coming back. Well, what you did at Richfield High School, how awesome you were there, and then what you did at Baylor, but also had a hell of a run in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings, including being a part of an all-rookie team. How was the transition from Baylor, where they had a lot of players get entered the NFL in the Coach Taft years, to Minnesota? How was that for you?
It was a great experience. I mean, Baylor ran a type of pro atmosphere football program. And so when I went to Minnesota, you know, we were pretty much prepared, even though the terminology was different. I remember Coach Turner, how he would explain our blocking scheme was, okay, if the tackle's covered, man outside, you block the man outside, which is a 3-4 defense. And then he says, if the tackle covered, no man outside, you block the man inside, which is a 4-3 defense. And so when I get to Minnesota, I said, man, this is what Coach Turner was teaching us, the 3-4 and the 4-3 defense. But the way he explained it to us, so we, as running backs, we could get it. But that's how we had to understand. If the tackle's covered, man outside, we block the sound backer. If the tackle's covered, no sound backer outside, you block the sound inside, the backer inside. So yes, Baylor prepared us for the techniques and the terminology for the NFL.
Alfred, what's it like to watch the running back position become what it sort of has these days, of where there's stars that are long-lasting, it's few and far between to see guys be those mainstays of the position? It's just kind of in and out now at this point, turning it over every 2 or 3 years for a younger guy with fresher legs. What do you think of, and not a lot of guys, if many, getting it all big contracts at that position. Just how do you kind of take that and how you sort of absorb that as a former running back in the pros yourself?
You know, things have changed. Like I said, over the last 30 years since I played, it's not like it was back then in the 80s and 70s and 60s where, you know, I can't understand how a running back can, you know, pick up 10, 15, 20 yards, and then he tapping his helmet like he wants to come out. That was something I would never do. Only way I would come out the game unless I was hurt or injured. I would never come off the field because I ran 15, 20, 30 yards to come off. You know, I want to play. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between the players. And this time, they don't have the heart where they just want to play. Now there's one player I say that want to be the workhorse and run every play and without coming out. But the smaller running backs, all they want to do is come out, get one play, two plays, and come back in. But that's not how it was back then. Plus, they're making tons of money to just play half the games. You know, compared to us, we didn't make that much. My first year, I made $60,000, you know, and played the whole game and didn't come off the field unless I was injured or hurt, you know. But that's the love of the game from the older players compared to the younger players in this day and time.
Alfred, we've heard, and we have been at Super Bowls year after year after year when they started to recognize the older veteran players who were not getting any benefits. Guys like Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka, among others, were there to discuss that. Are you now, or have you seen a change in what benefits you get now compared to maybe even 10 or 20 years ago or not?
Yeah, they finally, with the last collective bargaining agreement, finally kind of helped us a little bit. They do provide like a HRA plan for us. They also start with, we get like $25,000 in Baylor Hospital, where we have any need or any kind of colonoscopy or whatever. Yep. That money, every year they put $25,000 in there to kind of help us to pay for those things where we're not paying out of our pockets. Also, in the lab, they did increase a little bit of our pension. And I want to say in 25, I believe they'll be going back to the bargaining table, and hopefully they can help get us some more. Because, and there's guys that played in the 60s, you know, those guys were making like $300 a month. How can you live off of $300 a month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they have improved a little bit to help us out now. And then we have the trust that also helped provide things for us, like working out at the Y, also going to Tulane University where we can get a full body screen of our bodies, brain, and everything. The prostate, it's a full body checkout. So that way, if something is going on with you, they'll definitely be able to find it.
That's awesome. And that's well overdue. I mean, these are some of the greatest names ever that were roaming up and down with all the radio stations. They were trying to get the word out, and it worked. I mean, it took a while. Gene Upshaw, yes, who was a former player, and he was at the time the NFL Players Association president, but he wasn't budging. And it was weird. First, he was making a lot of money being the player agent or the player president, but eventually that did happen. The 1980 team, hell of a run, right? 10-2, and then what was it? Was it Notre Dame that closed out the year in that really low scoring, or was it Alabama in a game where they got Alabama. You in the Cotton Bowl?
Yes, Alabama. Alabama beat us 30-2. So that was a run. That was a run. I want to say that's the best. I mean, to go undefeated in conference, be 8-0, hey, that was very impressive. That nobody, I think the closest team that was close to us was like three games behind us with a loss, you know. But that was impressive. And after that, I was thinking, man, this is how it's going to be for the next three more years.
Yeah. You were spoiled. If you don't mind me asking, are you still working out in Tarrant County?
I'm retired.
Okay.
I'm retired, David. So I'm just enjoying life, and my schedule is based around my baby boy, Alex, who's 12 years old. So taking them to school, picking them up, taking them to practices and all that. So that's my job right now.
Well, that's a great job to have. You did work with the Tarrant County Advocate Program with young kids that were sideways. They were struggling. They had made some bad mistakes. What did you learn, and how much do you feel like you made a difference with them?
I think with my group, a big difference. Like I said, the first thing I do from day one, I give them rules. And if you give kids rules, those guys will abide by the rules. Compared to me being advocates for my kids, compared to the different advocates who would let them get away with anything and everything. And then when they decide they want to tell them don't do this, it's too late because you already gave them so much leeway to do what they want to do. But it has gave me, and I love kids, and I always want kids to always be right and know that even though you messed up this time, you can change your life around. And that's what was so important to me, to help build these kids up. And, you know, I would take my kids to my church, and we would, you know, clean the church, inside the church. And some of these kids never been inside a church, you know. So to be able to experience that and do community service inside the church, you know. And then there was one that went back to school and started doing real well in school, you know, helping them get jobs and things like that, and vouching for them. So that was a real, real dear to my heart, to be able to help the young men and the kids out there that make mistakes, that knowing that this is not the end, you can turn that around.
Well, it's awesome that you did that. Was there a time in your life early on when you could have gone one way or the other and somebody was the right one to point you in the right direction?
Yes, there was a coach that helped me, which the good thing, I was always a good kid, but sometimes as a kid, you always want to try to do something different just for the fun of it. And I thank God that the experience I had with that, it definitely turned my life around to never do anything like that again. And so yes, and you learn from those mistakes. And those mistakes will make you better in life.
You're a good one, Alfred. Thank you for your time. Good luck tomorrow. The event is tomorrow. Starts at 11:30 at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. Lunch with a Legend featuring Alfred Anderson. Texas Sports Hall of Fame is right off I-35, right before you get to the Brazos River, if you want to drop on in. I think there are still a handful of tickets available. I'm sure that you could walk in and get one if you want. But good luck, Alfred. Enjoy tomorrow and enjoy the attention, the questions, and the trip down memory lane again.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you guys.
You too, Alfred Anderson.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.